A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst-case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today, on this Election Day special, we will be figuring out one of the greatest tragedies of the 90s, the breakup of the Spice Girls. Here's what you need to know. All for One, Salt and Peppa, Boys to Men, Dixie Chicks, Take That, Destiny's Child, Backstreet Boys, TLC, NSYNC. The 90s pop music scene was bursting with girl and boy bands, but in the sea of groups attempting to sing and dance their way to the top, no other five-member squad brought the fashion and the girl power like the Spice Girls. If you wanna be my lover, you gotta get with my friends, make it last forever, friendship never ends. Formed in 1994 as a feminist alternative to boy groups of the era, Victoria Adams, or Posh Spice, Melanie Brown, or Scary Spice, Emma Bunton, or Baby Spice, Melanie Chisholm, or Sporty Spice, and Jerry Halliwell, also known as Ginger Spice, were chosen out of 400 women who auditioned. Father-son management team duo Bob and Chris Herbert placed an ad in a trade magazine asking for singers for an all-female pop band. After getting the part, the five women lived together during their first year while they rehearsed and built a repertoire of choreographies and songs. Originally, the group was called Touch, but a few months into rehearsals, Jerry came up with the name Spice, and it stuck. In 1995, frustrated with their managers, the women brazenly stole the original mixes of the songs they'd recorded and dropped the Herberts. They then switched management to Simon Fuller, who managed Annie Lennox at the time, and signed with Virgin Records. After learning there was a rapper by the same name, the group officially changed their name to Spice Girls. After years of rehearsals and anticipation, finally, in July of 1996, their first single, Wannabe, was released.
British pop stars The Spice Girls are taking the world by storm.
It was an instant hit, and the women were thrust into the spotlight. Despite getting mixed reviews in the UK and US, Wannabe rose to the top of the charts and stayed there all summer long. Around this time, a reporter for Top of the Pops magazine gave the women their nicknames: Ginger, Sporty, Posh, Scary, and Baby. Their music video for Wannabe made them an international sensation. Media outlets and fans worldwide couldn't get enough of the group's catchy songs and feminist mantra. Their follow-up single, Say You'll Be There, and debut album, Spice, made them an international sensation. In just a few months, they'd sold over 23 million records worldwide. Much of the group's success hinged on how seemingly accessible the women felt and how defined their character traits were. While they dressed differently and had different interests, their friendship bond seemed impenetrable. When their second album, Spice World, and their musical film, Spice World the Movie, came out in 1997, they were five of the most recognizable faces around the globe. Their singles, Spice Up Your Life, Too Much, and Viva Forever, achieved major commercial success. And while the film was harshly criticized, it did well at the box office, a testament to the group's fan base. But by 1998, the group's solid bond was starting to show cracks. The Spice Girls' individual celebrity power started to take over the group's music. Victoria announced her engagement to soccer star David Beckham and became a tabloid fixture. Then, in May of 1998, Jerry shocked the group when she decided to leave during the middle of their Spice World tour. This was a major blow, but the remaining four women re-choreographed the show and finished the tour. Afterward, they went on an indefinite hiatus. Their third and final album, Forever, was released in November of 2000. It was by no means their biggest success, peaking at number two in the British charts and only selling 4 million copies. Just a few months later, in February of 2001, the band officially broke up. Fun Facts, aka Death Stats. Their debut single, Wannabe, hit number one in 37 countries. Wannabe was recorded in less than an hour. The solo parts were divided between Brown, Bunton, Chisholm, and Halliwell. Adams, aka Posh Spice, was not present during the writing session, but connected with the women via cell phone. She has no solo in the song. The original five Spice Girls did not include Emma Bunton. Initially, Michelle Stevenson was chosen, but after a few months, she was cut and Emma replaced her. The Spice Girls have sold 85 million records worldwide, making them the best-selling girl group of all time. Spice World the Movie made over £150 million at the box office. It grossed £29.6 million at the U.S. box office. Only two Spice Girls singles didn't hit number one. Stop, in 1998, which peaked at number two, and Headlines, Friendship Never Ends, from their 2007 reunion tour, Greatest Hits album. In 1997, the group traveled to South Africa to meet Nelson Mandela. He described the meeting as, quote, one of the greatest moments in my life. With us today, we have producer Amanda Lund.
Hello, Rebecca.
And doing some fact-checking is Clayton Early.
Cheerio, Rebecca!
And our very special guests are Georgia Mishak and Anastasia Kousakis. Stosh, a.k.a. The Stosh.
I think in British it would be Stash, probably, Stosh. Which I would hate. Oof. I don't have a British accent.
You'd be Stosh Spice.
Oh, yeah. My God.
To anyone who knows Georgia and Stosh, it's not going to be a shocker that they're huge Spice Girls fans. Well, Georgia, it's more obvious. Actually, Stosh, tell us about your experience.
I did go to see the Spice Girls in the 90s with my entire family. I'm one of four kids. We all went. We all got to bring a plus one. So there was, I think, there might have been adults with us too. I don't really remember. But we went dressed up to see them in Vancouver, It was like a highlight of my childhood. I remember I was wearing these white patent leather go-go boots that I had for a reason I can't recall, but
for a very good reason.
And just, I mean, obviously had the time of my life. I was listening to Viva Forever yesterday, thinking about this podcast, and just cried by myself listening to the song. They really move me.
Yeah. These are sensitive times.
That's true.
I think it's definitely one of the biggest regrets of my life, at least top five, that I never went to a Spice Girls concert.
Yes. And didn't it get canceled, the one you were planning on going to?
No. I don't think it was on the radar for me to go back in the day. Mm. Like in the 90s, like my parents weren't
Spice heads. Like they weren't Spice money. Heads.
Well, they weren't going to like spend money for me to go, you know, give me like however much money that was. That would have been like a Christmas present, you know, and like they couldn't figure that out. So, but then I think I was trying to go in 2008 when they did their reunion tour, or they didn't call it a reunion tour, but like that's what it was. And I remember like trying to go with a friend and then was like, oh, well, I don't have like $200 for this ticket because I'm a lowly Hollywood assistant who makes 10 bucks an hour.
200, so, that's steep, but worth it.
It was steep. And in retrospect, it was so worth it. And I could have made it happen and I didn't. And so, you know, and I have to live with the life I've chosen for myself.
That's right.
So.
We all do. Amanda, Clayton, are you guys Spice Girls, Spice Heads?
Huge, like so huge. And I'm also with Georgia. Like I begged my parents to let me go to a concert and it was just like out of the budget. But I did get to take a trip to London when I was like 13. And this was at the height of like Spice Girls fever. And I bought so much Spice Girl like paraphernalia that I showed up to my first day of high school wearing platform shoes. They were like sneakers, but like super platform. And they literally said Spice Girls on them.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Were you cool?
I did.
Were you?
No. Of course not. I also had like an ankle length duster sweater on.
Very scary vibes. Scary. I feel like Scary used to wear like that long sweater.
Clayton, did you love the Spice?
I would say, here's what I'll say. I was more at that time in my life into like Ana DeFranco Spice and Tori Amos Spice and Sarah McLachlan Spice. Like those were my Spice Girls. Yeah. However, I did get down with their songs were so catchy, unforgettable. And I will say the one lyric that has always stuck with me from a Spice Girls song is the "Be a little bit wiser, baby, put it on, put it on." I remember feeling kind of scandalized, like they were like telling it to you, like
that's
in a song.
Right.
And I was like, I always think about that line. The first thing with Spice Girls, that, and also like, why is she called Scary Spice? It just seems mean.
Now in retrospect, you know, I think we should talk about this. You know, when you think about the, outspoken black woman being labeled as Scary Spice, it doesn't hold up as well. Time has.
I'd go ahead and call it full on racist.
That's right. But I was actually, you know, a secret Spice Girl fan.
Mm.
Yes, in the dark.
Why did you have to be secret?
Well, because I was going through my goth phase.
Oh no!
You and me, Rebecca, we would have been besties.
I know.
And I got done with the goth kids.
I was really into Hole. And, you know, some like real edgy, angry stuff, which is so hilarious to me now looking back because like I never did drugs. Like what kind of like goth people were these goths I was hanging out with, you know?
Yeah, like the least edgy goth person ever.
Exactly. I whatever. So anyway, I listened to it in the shadows of my room. But... I think this, you know, later on, I think we'll figure out what Spice Girl we're all, but I think we need to dive in and talk about a little bit of background about the Spice Girls before we start putting people up on the board. And I don't mean background of the actual Spice Girls. I mean the Spice Girls movement.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you know, they were all about girl power. And this girl power movement was actually started by the Riot Girl underground feminist punk movement in Washington State in the early 90s. So they kind of like set the stage, and the term girl power actually was pretty much inspired slash stolen from the Black Panthers and the Black Power, you know, movement. And their girl power, the Riot Girl, they're associated with third wave feminism, which if we remember from the Monica Lewinsky episode, this was the iteration of the feminist movement that was happening in the 90s. So, you know, this kind of it's interesting to think about Monica Lewinsky in the time of this girl power movement happening and the Spice. Like, you can imagine Monica Lewinsky listening to the Spice Girls at the gym, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. She definitely did. And she definitely did.
Okay. So we know we grew up in the 90s. I did. It was a very confusing time for especially for girls. And a lot of mixed messages were being thrown at us. So, for instance, like, be strong, but look cute. Be thin, but make it look like you're not trying to be thin. Be an advocate for yourself, but don't be a bitch. You know, a lot of these same
And those
messages.
Are all lines from Spice Girls songs, right?
Well, if you think
the album that didn't make it out.
Well, what was so awesome about the Spice Girls was that they were not apologetic about their feminist demands. So, you know, in their and they I guess there was an interview where they asked them where girl power came from. And Jerry said that it came from a band called Shampoo, which was, I guess, a British, you know, band at the time that. I think their album was called Girl Power. Anyway, she didn't even know it was part of the Riot Girl movement. So it's just, you know, they're drinking it in the water. Anyway, their debut single is the what's cool about the Spice Girls, like in their debut, right? They're telling you what they want. They're not asking for it, right? They're setting boundaries for themselves, like however silly it sounds. But if you want to be their lover, you got to get with their friends. So it's like they're making it nice and clear.
Yeah, I like that. I respect that.
Yeah, and they were just like giving this like sex positive message. Like Clayton was saying, like to become one, it's like, get closer, but put it on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I love that you brought that up, Clayton, because when I learned about that, like, I don't think I was maybe a little too young to be like, well, that's just those are just words.
Mm.
And then later was like, oh, put a condom on.
Right.
Like, they're promoting safe sex. And that's crazy.
Oh, God.
Like,
I think Amanda's having a revelation.
I really am. I was just looking at those lyrics. And when Clayton first said that, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that's cool. And then I'm looking at it here on the page and I'm going, put it on. And it, wow, I did not realize.
It's very visual. It's a very visual lyric. Yes. I mean, nowadays songs are so like, they're so, like, things they sing about, which are so, like, hyper-sex. But that was, like, very subtle at the time. Seemed like, oh, it's making me think about a condom on a dick.
Yes!
News to me, but that's, I mean, great.
You have to learn about it sometime.
Well, this is what made them the Spice Girls, because, like, they were appealing to a range of women and girls and men and, you know, a range of people that were, I don't know, 8 years old, maybe younger, to, like, in their early 30s, perhaps, or like people who are, you know, so it's like, put it on is a little bit open to interpretation, just
sure.
enough that you can serve it to the tiny kid.
Yeah, you can still put it on the radio or, without getting
And the parents
it.
Can feel good about
exactly.
it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's much better than like, hit it in the morning, like in an Ariana Grande song, you know, it's like, parents are like, okay. Yeah. But this is like, okay, this is responsible. I'm okay with this.
It was teaching responsibility from a young age, I think. And from like people you respect, from these women that you respected, because they garnered our respect by being like, this is who I am upon unapologetically themselves. And that's like why I loved them so much, is they just were who they were and didn't give a fuck.
It's right.
Instead of, I mean, and yes, like we learned, you know, they sort of had to, you know, deal with like a lot of crap from a lot of different people. And like, you know, so they maybe couldn't be just who they wanted to be fully. But from the outside in, it really looked like that. And that was like a such a powerful message for a young girl.
That the female journey? They tell you you can be whoever you want to be, but let's be honest, they don't really want you to be whatever you want to be.
Not at all.
There are restrictions.
But
don't gain any weight. But
yeah, exactly. Sure. You know, and something that was so awesome was, not awesome. I was just, okay. I was thinking about Wannabe and listening to it. And we all agree that Zig Zig Zaw is an orgasm, right? Oh my God, Amanda's what? Having
that's a revelation to me.
I'm with Amanda.
Wait. Cling, can you?
I haven't listened to that song. Can you please listen to it?
Get the lyrics. I'm 100%. Coming. It's like having an orgasm. I wanna really, really, really wanna zig a zig ah.
When a zig a zig ah.
I mean,
okay, I'm open to, I like this interpretation.
What?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it. I would have said if left to my own devices that maybe it was just sex.
Ah.
You know, like, but I like the, you know, that it equals orgasm in your mind. I mean, I could.
They didn't want just sex, right? They wanted pleasure for themselves. And that was like a real feminist.
Also good point. Good point.
You know, message.
That's huge.
I guess we're saying all this to say that whatever you think about the Spice Girls, however they sound or their songwriting, they were a very important part of, you know, girls in the 90s. But we're not here to discuss, you know, how the huge impact that they, you know, made for now adult women, you know, right now, and how they impacted us like that. We're here to get petty, and we're here to figure out who's to blame for the breakup of the Spice Girls. I'm just going to get us started by putting Ginger Spice.
Okay, I was going to say, I already have some ideas.
Yeah.
Her departure, was huge. Just for a little background, she said, according to an article, ABC, Brown, who's Mel B, said that she and Halliwell shared the leadership of the group from day to day, and that Halliwell actually came up with the name Spice Girls. But we had a 5-year plan that got shortened after 3 years, she said. We were all eventually going to go our own way anyway. We always knew Victoria was going to go into fashion. Mel C was going to do music. Emma wanted to do radio. I wanted to do a bit of everything, but it did come early. So when Jerry left the group, it was bad, she said. She left on my birthday and didn't tell anybody. She didn't just show up. We had the rest of the tour and the American part of the tour to continue. So when King asked whether there was any bitterness, she said, yeah, for a long time between me and her, there was bitterness. So for this like friendship, you know, their whole thing was like promoting like friendship and blah, blah, blah. It sounds like there might have been some tension between Ginger and Scary Spice.
I mean, I interpret it as Scary, Mel B being pissed at Ginger for leaving. And I think there was something else going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. Ginger, when she talks about why she left the band, she's like, well, I wanted to do this interview about breast cancer awareness, and they wouldn't let me do this interview. And so I just decided I'm going to leave now because I'm mad that they won't let me do this interview. But she had apparently already told, you know, the managers and everybody involved with the Spice Girls that she was going to leave at the end of the tour anyway. But she got pissed about not being allowed to do this interview, and that's why she decided to leave. And that, to me, just stinks. Like, it does not ring true at all. I'm like, something else must have happened. I totally get not wanting to be controlled to that level, and maybe that breast cancer was an issue that's near and dear to her heart, but something else was going on. If you're going to walk away from that juggernaut at the height of, you know, it's whatever, like, when it's exploding and like you're in the middle of a tour, I just feel like we don't know the real reason why she left.
Yeah. I mean, I heard about that thing, the breast cancer interview. It was like, she was like, can I just do something by myself? Like, is there no way that I can like be an individual for one afternoon, like 1 second, one interview. I mean, like, you signed up to, like, you guys kind of knew this was going to be what it was for a while. I also think they were just exhausted. Like, they were working. They didn't have, like, one day off in 97.
Wow.
It's like what all the K-pop groups do. They all live together, but I don't know how. I mean, they must have figured out some magic since these times, because they stay together a little bit longer, but it's a lot. Seems just like pop boot camp.
It's just, yeah, yeah. And maybe she was just like, I just can't. She was the first to release a solo album, I believe. Is that
so?
Like, post.
Is she
post
older? Music. Is she old? Is she the
and
oldest?
She's the oldest. Oldest. Okay. Yeah.
I wonder if her, like, maturity level of just being like, all right, I'm like ready to move on to some other regular adult life thing.
But then also her maturity and sort of, you know, respecting the, like, what she came here to do, sure, and to be a part of the group of, like, well, I'm going to, like, at least finish the tour.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
It's like
crazy
when you realize that you're graduating, like, you're over high school, but but you're still, like, in your 20s. Like, how like mature are you?
Well, she was, in my interpretation of the Spice Girls, she, to me, was, like, the star, right? Like, she really came across, I think, even more, like, maybe behind the scenes, like, her and Scary, Ginger and Scary were both in charge. But to me, I always thought of Ginger as, like, the leader, the frontman, like, the JT, the Justin Timberlake of the Spice Girls. And so I equate it almost to, like, you know, when people leave SNL to, like, go do movies. It's like she probably had ambitions. I don't know, Rebecca, if you have anything in your notes about that.
She did have ambitions, and she did claim to be exhausted, and she claimed to need a break. There was a BBC article I found that said that years later in the documentary Giving You Everything, she explained that she became distanced from the rest of the band. I felt I didn't belong there anymore. They didn't need me anymore, really, and I definitely felt very redundant. And then there's a Bustle article that says, 9 years after the departure, the 44-year-old opened up about quitting the band in the 2007 documentary. She explained, I remember knowing in my heart in the days approaching that I was going to leave. And the song Viva Forever was standing there thinking, oh my God, this is the last time I'm going to perform with them. I'd given all I could. I felt like I didn't belong anymore. They didn't need me anymore. Really. I was definitely very redundant and concluded I kind of threw in the towel and gave up.
Yeah, I think that just to me speaks to someone like taking, I don't know, something, there was a shift, like to feel redundant after what I have to say that when I looked at the timeline, I was shocked to realize how few years it was between
the band.
Like hitting big and then officially breaking up. It was like 2 years that they were running around and, you know, at the top of the world.
About, like, when it came to the States, like we didn't get, we probably, you know, like now we get music, you know, globally, it like all happens at once. But if Wannabe came out in July 96 in England, like we probably didn't get it until like the fall, or it didn't like maybe catch on until the fall. Like I wonder when it hit our charts. So yeah, they were like looking back, they were such a blip. But like,
I know.
Well,
I mean, they weren't.
The impact. The impact was incredible.
Also, you got to remember that we were probably like angsty, like tweenagers at the time. So like a week felt like a lifetime. You know, it's like,
that's a good point.
I was like, I had boyfriends that lasted a week, you know, that was long. So I think we should talk about like another thing that I wanted to put up on the board.
Wait, before you say that, I just want to circle back about something I found about the Zigga Zigga that I think would be interesting for y'all to know. Apparently, it refers to a neighbor at their gritty short. This is from glamour.com. It refers to a neighbor at their gritty Shoreditch recording studio. Quote, this guy had this nasty habit of taking a dump in the shared kazi while smoking a cigar. So we took to referring to him as shit and cigars. During the recording, this phrase was thrown around a lot and must have worked its way into Mel B's subconscious, who pretty much wrote all the lyrics. She may have considered shits and cigars for a minute, but eventually settled on Zigga Zigga instead.
Whoa.
Not at all sexual.
Well, maybe for
I,
some.
I want to know who the source is.
For-
I
she wants. So what she's saying is, I want to take a shit and smoke a cigar. That can't be right.
No, I'm sorry. The source is not reliable.
I'm no glamour.
I found this on multiple, because the first one I was like, this can't be true. And then I found it in Glamour and I was like, okay.
Oh my God.
But who knows? It's the internet. Take it for
now, what it's worth. This kind of goes with that. You know, I don't think they really had any friends outside of the group during this, the whole time.
They were very confined to just like being with each other.
Well, so maybe then, I don't want to step on your toes, Rebecca, if you're getting there, but maybe then, you know, like Victoria pairing up with David Beckham and like kind of planting the seed that things were going to branch and split. Maybe that really did get to Jerry because, and all of them, because they were like, oh, she gets to have a life outside.
How did they have time?
This.
Yeah. How did she have time to meet David Beckham?
I mean, good point. I don't know.
But also, the life, that life of Posh being at Posh and Beck's, they were like insanely popular. Yes. Like crazy, crazy. Like he was the biggest football star, and she was like the biggest pop
star. Maybe she stole the spotlight.
And I think she stole too much of the spotlight, whether she meant to or not. And Jerry was maybe like, I need to go find myself a footballer.
Should we put Victoria and David Beckham up on the board? Or should we call it their relationship? I think maybe their relationship was a trigger. It could be.
Yeah.
The star,
I think it deserves to go on the board.
Yeah. I found some article on The Guardian. Rebecca Cripps wrote it, and she wrote, relationships between the girls were never fixed. They all had special connections with each other. Victoria and Mel B shared a particularly earthy humor, but Victoria rarely joined Mel and Jerry on their mad nights out. Mel C and B had common ground as Northerners, but Mel C and Emma would often spend quiet weekends together, and Jerry and Victoria hung out a lot. I mean, it sounds like I wrote that in my diary.
What's so fascinating about all this, and that maybe we're not as attuned to, is that like regional things in England is so important in terms of how people like view each other. And I can't imagine how the dynamic for all of these five women to show up and be like, oh, you're from there, and now we're in this group. Like,
yeah, the class.
Where do
system.
The alliances lie? You know.
And Victoria was a little I did start her autobiography. And
Victoria's.
Don't worry. I have several right next to me. I have Mel B's and Victoria's right next to me. She was like, we weren't that rich. Like, she really like downplays that. Like, our house was like a big house, but no, it wasn't. But the girls looked at her like, none of us came from anything, but Victoria did come from money.
Well, Posh. There was, I guess, truth to all of the nicknames. I think that they weren't getting outside. They weren't meeting other people or hanging out. And like we said, that the Victoria and Beckham like break would have been a big blow. It's like, you know, it's like when your friend gets a boyfriend and then they stop hanging out with you. It's like so classic. And that's literally what they sang about. Like,
yeah.
Gotta get with my friends, David.
But they all like David.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Can I? Okay, off of that, can I add or propose to add something to the board? I think Simon Fuller needs to go on the board.
Was he one of their producers?
He was the manager.
He was the manager.
Oh, the manager.
Who really made them, but then just had them on an insane schedule. And part of what you're talking about, Rebecca, like they didn't have any other friends. Like there was no time. He like overworked them a little bit too much, like pushed it to be so big, which is, and like we're talking like, oh, they were just a blip, but like they had such a lasting impression on all of us. Is like, yeah, I mean, it worked, Simon, but it also, I think he burned them out a little too.
I love.
Can I piggyback on that?
Yeah.
Simon Fuller, why was he doing that, Georgia? To make money.
God. Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably the reason why he wanted money is because he lives in a capitalist society. And ultimately, capitalism is to blame.
He's on a rampage.
Let's put it on the board.
Get it up there.
It's on.
Yes, Clayton, you're right. And they did make, just 1 year, they made over $65 million in just one year. It's a lot of money in the 90s, too, you know? So I think that's a really good point, Georgia, because what happened then because of the burnout was that they decided that they actually fired Simon Fuller. and they decided that they were going to self-manage. And now let's take a quick break to speak about the Spice Girls managers with a guest expert, Lauren Bravo, author of What Would the Spice Girls Do? How the Girl Power Generation Grew Up. Do you think that the problems with their management attributed to their downfall?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. So the Spice Girls had a lot of drama with their management even before they released their first single. So the father-son duo that actually put them together, they had them in a house kind of training, like a boot camp for a few months. And then the Spice Girls decided they actually wanted to flee. They kind of didn't want to stay with those managers anymore. They did this midnight flit where they all got in Jerry's car. They went and stole their master recordings from the studio, drove to Sheffield. It was all very dramatic. So they always had quite a tempestuous relationship with their management. There'd been lots of ups and downs. Of course, you know, Simon Fuller was the sort of Svengali always credited with creating them. But actually, the truth was they auditioned him, not the other way around. And they managed themselves for about a year before they kind of found fame. So I think, yeah, definitely there were problems with the approach. I think he was working them very hard. I think that they wanted to make more creative calls and he wasn't letting them. There were lots of arguments, I think, about the sort of musical direction, the way they were going to go. But also, I think, you know, women in their early 20s who'd been thrown together into such an intense working relationship, I think anyone would find that difficult. And naturally, they were going to have differences of opinion. They were going to want to go in different directions. But it's interesting. Jerry has since said that she regrets making that call. You know, she really regrets leaving when she did.
Listen to the full interview on Thursday's Aftermath episode. Now back to our conversation.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm just surprised they didn't hire someone else. I think they just didn't trust it.
Yeah, I mean, they had poor management before Simon, which was, you know, so maybe they, you're right, maybe they had trust, management trust issues. Maybe that should go up on the board. Yeah, put it up. And going
put
off
up,
of this.
Put it up.
Put it up. Okay. Going off of this burnout thing, you know, of course, Jerry said it was like, you know, differences, and she said it was, she was tired. But there's also talk, even to this day, that she had an eating disorder and the pressure was just too much. So she needed to get away. Again, the Guardian article, of course, I noticed the burgeoning food and self-image issues. One girl developed a morbid predilection for grapes, another for nothing but smashed veg. Feeling out of control is a common underlying cause of anorexia, and things were happening so fast that it must have been hard to keep a handle on it. Their schedule was packed. They worked long hours and rarely had a day off. The pressures of fame were extreme. However, desperately, they sought it in the first place. It was the price you pay, they were told, whether you were being chased by paps, hounded by fans, or derided by the media.
So pressures of fame, or how do you want to say that?
It kind of goes hand in hand with the music industry's obsession with beauty too, right? Because it's like, why can't it just be about the music? And this is in a time period where there weren't as many, it was hard, you know, it's harder, it's still harder to be a female musician.
It's like the expectations of female pop stars, superstars, you know, all of that wrapped into the pressure.
So what would you call it? Like female pressure?
Maybe sexism in the music industry, sort of thinking back to our Kanye Taylor Swift episode, you know, there's obviously that's all part of sexism.
Yeah.
It seems very image based. Like they create an image and then you must always, you can't venture too far from that image. You know, it's like.
Well, and control that they exercise over them. Like if this, you know, Jerry saying like, I wanted to, you know, just do something to endorse breast cancer awareness or whatever, you know, on my own. And I wasn't even allowed to do that.
Right.
So there's this like domination that they have over their every aspect of their lives because they're in this group. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So, I mean, that's tied into the music industry and.
I mean, we could put fashion industry up there also.
Yes. Put it up
why
there.
Why are those shirts why so not? Short?
But they like now I think, you know, maybe there's more liberty for performers to like reinvent themselves per album. Whereas like then, like also Jerry had that like that hair. Mm. Like she like was ginger, so she had to have this like red hair and that extra orange stripe, you know, like that highlight in the front. And it's like it was too rigid or something. Like this beauty and fashion rigidity of like now you are ginger and you shall always be ginger. Scary. You're always going to wear fucking leopard and be like loud. It's like we have more dimensions to us. And I think it's like they each represented. Okay, sorry. Here's my little tangent. I liked the Spice Girls because in a way, or looking back, like when you're a tween, you know, you have to identify with one of them. But now looking back, I'm like, no, they are each a representation of like a part of myself. Mm. Like all of the Spice Girls are within
like
me.
Sex in the City. That's right.
Yes, exactly. But like
there's a Miranda in all of us.
There's a Miranda, yes.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah. And a Samantha.
Mm-hmm. I was always thought it was interesting that ginger was the only actual literal spice. I know it was referring to her hair.
Yeah.
But you know, you think spice.
Don't poke holes in it.
They're spicing things up. Ginger's a literal spice. You can't cook with baby spice.
The 2020 version of the band is like turmeric.
Turmeric,
yes. Turmeric would be the most popular for sure.
But this is something that we need to put up on the board, and it's the marketing because it's what make them. It made them so successful, but at the same time, when one of them left, it was like they were losing a limb. Right.
It's like the golden handcuffs, you know, for anyone who gets. Just ends up in something that becomes huge and like a big hit. And then they're just so associated with that. I'm sure like the cast of Friends has something to say about that. You know, like everybody wants to be able to go off and do something else after, but they're really just, we're looking at Rachel and Monica, you know, forever in some ways. I mean, that's not the best example because they're so huge.
It's a great example.
But like maybe, you know, Jerry saw the future and thought, I got to get out now. Because they've like locked me in this box, in this ginger box.
I mean, I can see that, but I can also see how she didn't have the foresight to realize that if she let, maybe she got like too high on her britches. Is that what the term is?
Yeah,
not exactly. Too high up on the bridge. She got too high up on the bridge.
Pedestal, maybe high on
too
the pedestal.
Big
in
for your britches. Oh. She was too big.
Big for your
for her britches.
I thought it was high on the britches.
we know you did.
anyway, she went on a very high bridge and she thought.
But wasn't that in that Two Become One music video? Weren't they sitting on a bridge? That's what you're thinking of.
That bridge got to her head and she was like, I can make it out on my own. But the reality of it was that they were a package.
Yeah. It felt and it
they
felt
were a spice like, blend.
That's right.
Yeah.
Doesn't work without all of them.
Is it possible that another thing that contributed to the breakup and our lack of interest in their final album was the aging fans? So we were essentially growing up, right? There's an InStyle article. It says, for me, the Spice Girls split as also happened right as junior high turned into high school. The real Spice Girls parted ways, and so did I with all of my middle school Spice Girl friends. It felt like life was imitating the teen people headlines. So it's like inevitability of like change, especially in that those young years where you really are beholden to, you know, where you live. Like you can't control a lot. Like how many times did you lose friends because you just went to different schools, you know?
I mean, inevitability is almost like the reason the reason itself that like all of those bands that are tied so closely to your youth or like the moment right before you come of age, they're rooted to that too much to then evolve along with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a Madonna or somebody who can reinvent and reinvent and reinvent.
A Gaga per se. Maybe it has something to do with them also aging. So at a certain point, they had to like move on to a next like phase in their life that maybe wasn't as desired. Like they were going to get into their 30s soon. And we all know that as a woman in the entertainment industry, you die.
That's when you die.
It's all over.
You
turn 30.
Right. Now, we do have to get to knocking stuff off the board, but I have one suggestion, if I may.
Yes.
I think we should put girl power up on the board because in a way, hear me out, while it's a great idea in theory, it's so simplistic and it puts you in such a box. It's also so, it's a very narrow view of what it means to be like a woman. It's also in that third wave of feminism. It's sort of exclusive in a way instead of inclusive. You know what I mean? It's just, I feel like also just having to live up to this girl power idea when you're actually in what's quite a quite sexist and patriarchal system of the music industry may have caused the implosion.
That's interesting. There
was rumors that they were kind of split, I think, people about whether they were actually embracing the feminism wave or whether they were using it as a thing.
Oh, yeah. Co-opted it, kind of.
Okay, so we need to get to crossing things off. Clayton, will you hit us with the board?
Who is to blame? We have Ginger Spice, No Friends Outside of the Group, Posh and Bex, Simon Fuller, their manager, Capitalism, that was just a dumb joke, Management Trust Issues, Sexism in the Music Industry, the Fashion Industry, Marketing, Aging Fans, Inevitability of Time, Spice Girls Aging, and Girl Power.
Okay. How do we feel about taking out Management Trust Issues?
Yeah, I would take that off.
I think more than that, it was Simon Fuller.
So maybe Marketing as well could come
off? I mean, I don't know about that.
Okay.
Right?
Or what about Inevitability of Time?
Yeah.
Fashion Industry.
Fine.
It may have made them exhausted trying to stay in those fashion clothes, but there's bigger problems, I think.
For me, I really feel like it's Ginger. It's some combination of Ginger, Posh and Bex, Simon Fuller, and like Inevitability.
Are you trying not to do the tried and true method of process of elimination?
No, I'm just, I mean, I guess I am.
Rebecca, you're being such a ginger right now, Rebecca.
Guys, I feel redundant. I gotta go.
No.
Oh.
I do have to agree with Stosh on those, on the first three that you said, Ginger, Posh and Bex, and Simon Fuller. I think they're
Okay.
But sorry, I'm sorry.
We have gone rogue.
Keep eliminating. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I think more than the Spice Girls aging, I think, because I think we can take off the Spice Girls aging. I think aging fans.
I would say their aging fans is more.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
And inevitability of time, we can take that, cross that off as well.
I mean, I disagree, but okay.
Time.
I mean, it definitely has something to do with the industry. Like, they were at the tail end of these groups. So I do think there's something like industry related.
Right.
Whether it's timing, there's something in there.
I mean, capitalism, we can also take off.
Yes, for
as
sure.
As well, not sexism in the music industry. We cannot take that off. And also, we can take out no friends outside of the group.
I was going to say that.
So we're now left with Ginger, Posh and Bex, Simon Fuller, sexism in the music industry, marketing, aging fans, and girl power. Marketing and aging fans kind of go together in a way.
Yeah, like they needed to learn how to evolve with us,
right? But something about that I like about marketing is that it's a double-edged sword, right?
I might fold marketing in with sexism in the music industry.
Yeah, I think that's
crazy.
That's a good idea.
I don't think you can blame like primarily Ginger Spice, but it feels to me, just hear me out, that Ginger Spice kicked off something. It started kind of like a change in the perception that then was affected their marketing, which then affected their fan base, who was aging anyway, and everyone just kind of soured to the Spice,
but,
if you will.
Okay, maybe off of your idea, maybe Posh and Bex were the catalyst before Ginger, like, because they got together before Ginger left.
I know. I'm sort of also getting the feeling, though, that we could really remove Posh and Bex from the list, because if
what
I don't know, like, are they really responsible for the?
They're just living their breakup. Life. Yeah. They're living their life. You can't stop love. You can't help loving who you love.
They grew up. It's like Peter Pan. Like they.
Yes.
Posh Spice met someone, fell in love. She met her Prince Charming, and they grew up and wanted to go get their own castle. Mm-hmm. And then Ginger was like, well, I want to grow up too. But
yeah.
But Ginger was grown. I feel like she was.
But and also what's true is that we're talking about the actual breakup, not the disintegration. It's like
the actual
breakup. So I think Ginger's more culpable than Posh and Bex, I think.
I would agree. You. Yeah. I take your point, Georgia, though. I'm mad at them, too. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
See, here's something. Let me just throw this into the mix. Because Ginger Spice did leave, but they went on. Mm-hmm. They re-choreographed. They kept going and finished their tour and released music, like, what is it, like a year or so after that? I mean, that was like their... So, like, could Ginger Spice also could be considered a catalyst, but not the reason?
Well, I think she was more... Victoria didn't leave them mid-tour.
No, but Ginger's
mentioned. Yeah.
She maybe have left them mentally and in her heart, but she was physically.
Their album Forever came out in 2000.
Right, after Ginger left.
Which is like, two years after. But
so we can take...
But were they no longer the Spice Girls without Ginger? Is that the question that we're talking about?
Maybe.
Look, I
mean, like, I do not remember that third album. That's what I'll throw out there is like, I definitely didn't buy it. And it was like an afterthought.
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe that's because I was an aging
fan.
Yeah.
Why? Why didn't you want to buy it?
You were getting a little older.
I was like too cool.
What about Simon Fuller? Should we, it's hard. I don't know. What do you guys think about Simon Fuller? Was he that bad or was he just doing what music managers do?
That's
you know, he was doing his job, and he was definitely doing a good job, to Clayton's point of capitalism.
Simon Fuller, it would have been sexism in the industry, in the music industry.
Well, then they got rid of him, and they managed themselves. So
it didn't go well.
So I guess
should we put self-management up there? Then?
I also think we can take girl power off.
You know who is self-managed is Chance the Rapper. I looked it up after we were talking.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well, he's doing
good
well.
For him,
right?
Yeah.
So he's doing well.
So, okay, so now we have Ginger Spice, sexism in the music industry, and aging fans.
I have a feeling I know what I want to do.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
I think that I want to send Ginger Spice to jail. And I want to give aging fans everywhere the big slap.
Yeah. Okay. I can really? Agree with that.
I hate to send her to jail, but like how do you not?
Yeah.
In a way, right? If she hadn't left, like Forever would have performed really well and then they would have still, I don't know.
But also that album would have been different. They would have come out with an album. They would have had to come out with another album in 99. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
I think the way she left,
still close.
The way she left so abruptly, like there could have been a better way for her to transition out and kind of just like calm everyone down and be like, it's going to be okay. There's life after Ginger Spice leaves the Spice Girls, you know? But that sudden removal, like removing herself from the tour, that to me is too much of a blow. It's too much of a marketing problem.
And you know, if there's any admission of guilt, she has since, like recently in the past 5 years, have come back and apologized for leaving the group, saying that she was being a brat. These are some of the things that I've read.
Wow.
So if you know, it's like she knows that she definitely caused something.
She caught something. Is that what you said? She caught something.
Caused something. Sorry.
Okay. She caught a bad case of the breakup.
Breakup band. Yeah, the breakup blues.
Okay, I'm gonna call it. Aging fans, you're getting the big slap. Ginger Spice, you're going to the alarmist jail. Just so you know, this is coming out on election day, and I know a lot of us are going to be so stressed, and there's no other thing I'd rather be talking about than the Spice Girls on a day so stressful like today. So thank
it's
you.
It's what America needs.
You are welcome. The
British pop music is what America needs today. After the Spice Girls breakup, rumors of a reunion circulated for some years, and in 2007, the Spice Girls once again took the stage for a world tour, this time including Jerry. The group also reunited for a performance at the closing ceremony of the London 2012 Olympic Games. According to BBC, in 2019, the Spice Girls did another reunion tour. Quote, "It's the first time in a decade that they've performed together on tour, but it'll be Viva Forever because original member Victoria Beckham won't be there." When tickets for the tour came out last November, demand was so high that there were over 700,000 people waiting in the virtual queue. Girl power lives on. Vote for who you think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at thealarmistthe on Twitter, at thealarmistpodcast on Instagram, or email us at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing The Trail of Tears.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.